We finished chapter 30 today. If you can believe that. Proverbs chapter 30. And we'll begin our reading in verse 29. There be three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. A lion which is strongest among beasts, and turneth not away for any. A greyhound, and he-goat also, and a king, against whom there is no rising up. He starts off by saying there are three things which go well, yea, four are comely in going. Now, Agur had highlighted the smaller creatures who were known for their wisdom, their industry, their diligence, and their perseverance. Now, in this last grouping, he comments upon creatures that are courageous, agile, and graceful in their walk. The inspired writer was able to see the beauty and the glory of God's handiwork. These verses in Proverbs ought to stir our interest in observing the wonders and the wisdom of God's creation and how He sustains all of it by the word of His power. He upholds all things by the word of His power. And how we ought to marvel as we ponder what great things God hath wrought. The beauty of a sunrise, the glory of a sunset, the changing of the seasons, the promise of planting a seed, and God sending rain and sun, and then enabling us to harvest a crop from that which we've planted into the ground. All of these things are marvels. A child, when he is born, when a baby is born, the miracle of bringing life into this world and then sustaining it. God has orchestrated everything in creation. Psalm 104:24 says, O Lord, how manifold are Thy works. In wisdom hast Thou made them all. The earth is full of Thy riches. Oh, that God would open our eyes every day to see the glories of our creation. The glories that He has set out there, lessons that we can learn. Think about how many parables that Jesus and lessons that He taught from the realm of nature, from the realm of creation. Well, He starts off in verse 30 by saying, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. Men marvel at the strength and the courage of the lion. He is fearless and will not be intimidated or turned aside by anyone or anything. Now, one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ is that He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And above all others, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ displayed immeasurable courage and spiritual power when He came on His mission to rescue fallen man. Our Lord was fearless in the face of danger and hatred and rejection and persecution and ultimately betrayal and death. In spite of it all, He said that He came to do the will of His Father. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, the most ignominious death that a person in that time and age could experience. Our Lord went to the cross of Calvary knowing that He would bear the sins of all that the Father had given Him, that He was there to redeem them, that He was there to bear their sins in His body on the tree. Our Lord did not flinch. He said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And He willingly, sacrificially went to the cross of Calvary. He watched as they nailed the spikes in His hands and in His feet. And He felt the full force of the hatred of men, the hatred of Satan, and even the wrath of Almighty God, because He was acting as a substitute for those He came to die for. There is no greater example in all of the world of courage in the face of difficulty and crisis. Not just courage, but love. Jesus did not deserve to be on the cross. He had done nothing amiss. He had broken no laws. But He willingly laid down His life for His sheep. He was fearless as He bore the sins of His people and the full weight of the penalty for those sins. And then He conquered sin and death and hell when He miraculously rose from the dead. Nothing could keep Him from finishing the work His Father had given Him to do. We should all acknowledge today what a courageous, what a powerful, majestic Savior we have. And on account of our union with Him, those who are declared righteous by way of justifying grace, and then who practice righteousness by the work of sanctification and the Holy Spirit working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure, when we think of what we've been forgiven, the sin debt that has been paid, the power of the Spirit of God dwelling in us, we ought to be bold as lions in our service to the Lord. When we consider what great things God has done for us, then we ought to follow the example of our Savior and be obedient, even unto death. We ought not fear the faces of men or the forces of hell as we abide in and walk with the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We must heartily engage in spiritual warfare against the forces of evil, depending on the power of the Lord Jesus to strengthen our resolve. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but rather they're spiritual. We have the whole armor of God. We have the Word, which is the sword of the Spirit. We have the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. And every day, we ought to be prepared to engage, to fight the good fight of faith. May God give us grace to never turn from our holy responsibility to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered. There's not a day that you and I can take off. There's no retirement for a Christian. We must labor. We must fight. We must spread the gospel. We must be tireless in our efforts at sowing the seed, in our prayers for the lost, in living our life with the responsibility weighing upon us that we're to be lights in this darkened world. Folks, you may be the only Bible that people ever read. We are epistles written by the Spirit of God. And may we show forth His glory. If we're saved, we ought to live like we're saved. There are no back parts to the whole armor of God, which means that we must face the trials of life, the persecutions of the world, and our spiritual battles head on in the name of our Lord. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Oh, that God would give us grace in a time of such great unrest, cruelty, violence, injustice, ungodliness, murder, hatred. We must be different. Our family should reflect that we love the Lord, that we're walking in the ways of God, that we're loyal to our King, and that we have a desire to please Him and to help others. Never forget that our ultimate victory is bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as such, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. No matter what the outcome of your personal struggle, you may be persecuted. You may lose your life in the cause of Christ. But you're still more than a conqueror. Because this life is not all there is. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Let us think upon our brothers, our sisters in ages past who loved not their lives unto death, but were willing to stand for the gospel, stand for the truth, even though they were butchered, persecuted, imprisoned, burned at the stake. They would not give up their allegiance or their loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. So let us persevere in our quest to loyally and faithfully serve our Lord no matter what the circumstances. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:57-58, "But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know, your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We all have a task at hand. May we be an influence with the light, the glory, and the love of Jesus Christ. We represent the greatest person who ever walked on planet Earth, the most loving, gracious, honorable. And as such, we ought to be bold in telling others how Jesus Christ can take the worst of sinners and bring them out of the miry pit and change them forever through the power of His death, His burial, His resurrection. I have experienced the power of God. And that our lives ought to manifest that we've been changed. Verse 31. He goes on after he comments on the lion, a greyhound, an he-goat also, and a king, against whom there is no rising up. A greyhound is agile and swift and beautiful to watch as it runs. God's people likewise should be swift to obey the commands of God and also be full of grace in their walk with the Lord. Let's not be slow to obey. Let's not be hard of hearing. When the Lord says, "Whom shall I send?" let's immediately answer the call. "Here am I. Send me." All that we would be more like the Savior who had this testimony. He said, "I always do those things which please the Father." Isn't that something we ought to press toward, aspire to, pleasing the Lord, loving His commandments, obeying them? I read a book when I was probably my first year that I was saved. It was The Life of C.T. Studd. He was a missionary, a foreign missionary to India, I believe. It's been many years, almost, hard to believe, but almost 40 years ago I read this book. But one thing struck me about C.T. Studd. He would rise up early every morning, like at 4 a.m. before, and this was when there was no electric light that he could read by. He had a candlelight, and some of the other students at the school he attended said, "Brother, why are you getting up so early to read the Word of God?" He said, "I want to be careful to search the Scriptures so that I know every command my Lord wants me to obey today." And I thought, what an urgency about serving the Lord, about loving His commandments, and not just saying you love them, but actually doing it and living it. And then he talks about a he-goat that is stately and strong and sure-footed as he leads the rest of the flock. And I think that speaks to our responsibility. No matter who you are, somebody's watching you. Moms, dads, little eyes are watching you. Your influence is being felt. And every day we ought to embrace our responsibility to lead others in the way of truth and godliness. And then a king against whom there is no rising up. A king should be conscious of his authority and should exercise it with wisdom and with grace. Those put in positions of authority, specifically parents in the home, elders in the church, statesmen in the country, all should lead those under their charge with dignity and with an eye to the glory of God. Now, ultimately, there's only one king against whom there'll be no rising up. And that is Jesus Christ. There is coming a day when Christ is coming back from heaven with His saints to the earth. And He will come with a rod of iron. He will come in judgment. And He will establish His kingdom, His authority, His reign upon this earth. And no one will be able to rise up against Him and defeat Him. Now, I like the summary of Charles Bridges on these verses. He said, "Nor let us forget to imitate the features of this comeliness here portrayed. To be fearless as the lion when pursuing the path of duty, not turning away from any. To desire the eager spring of the greyhound in our heavenly course. To be useful as the he-goat, as the leader of a godly band, and to maintain our proper authority in any place of trust as parents or guardians of families, and not to allow any rising up against it. Let us seize the lessons that the wise man has given us, that he is drawn from the realm of God's creation. And let's be cognizant each and every day of our responsibilities to serve our God and those that we come in contact with, to lead in the way of truth, to be faithful in all of our deportment, and to keep an eye continually on the glory of God. Because that's what our lives are to count for.